You could?
Yes, I used a couple of spells.
Wow, Ozzy said, looking at the boxes with new appreciation.
Magic is very satisfying. Now, what were you screaming, I know, about?
I know who did this.
Of course you do. I just told you it was me.
No, not the stacking up, the tearing down.
Who?
That Ed guy we met 2 days ago.
Rin sat, silently moving his lips and stroking his beard. Ozzy told him everything that had happened during their stop at the food mart. The only part he left out was the near accident he and Clark had almost had before they got there. Rin listened closely, and at the end of the story, closed his eyes and thought.
Are you okay? Ozzy asked after what felt like 5 minutes.
Things are happening, Rin whispered. Strings have been pulled that can no longer be woven back into the pattern they once were.
Where's Clark?
As if he had been lurking just outside the office waiting for a reason to come in, Clark flew through the door and landed on the desk.
Where'd you go?
Ozzy asked.
I wanted to write a small part of a big wrong.
It makes me nervous to hear you say things like that.
I'm perfectly aware of that. Let's just say, Ed might be hiding in a roadside ditch, crying.
Is he? Ozzy asked.
No, but he's probably running and crying.
Rin closed his eyes again.
What's he doing?
Clark asked.
I think he's thinking.
Rin's nose twitched, and his top lip went in and out a couple of times while his eyes remained shut.
That makes me uncomfortable,
Clark whispered.
Maybe we should go out.
No, Rin said softly. Stay just as you are.
The room was quiet. No running appliances, no fans, no TVs, just silence. Rin's eyes flashed open. He stood up and reached into the front pocket of his off-white robe.
I found this, he said, holding something orange. I moved a bunch of boxes and found it behind that wall. A tree root outside buckled the wood and I could see a small black box inside the wall. When I pulled it out, I found this inside.
Rin handed the object to Ozzy. It was a solid orange cassette tape with his father's handwriting on each side. Side A said, the formula. Side B said, the problem. Ozzy stared at the tape. The thought of hearing his father say things that he hadn't heard him say before was exhilarating and almost worth the damage that had been done to his home.
I don't believe it.
I guess your dad was the kind of person who liked to hide things in the wall. It's lucky I was here to find it. Also, I found the deeds and maps to the land you own. Let's just say, most of this forest belongs to your parents.
Ozzy just kept staring at the tape.
I don't believe it.
Sometimes reality is blindingly incomprehensible, Rin said.
Ed took the tape player, Ozzy said, looking at the tape closely. I have no way to listen to this.
Can't you buy a new one? Clark asked.
I guess.
Not around here, Rin informed them.
Ozzy flipped the orange tape over in his hands, wondering how he was going to hear what his father had hidden.
Someone must have an old one, Ozzy said.
The wizard closed his eyes again. They flashed open 2 seconds later.
Someone does,
he said, resignation in his voice.
Who?
Ozzy asked.
My ex-wife.
Rin looked weak and had to sit back down. His breathing was labored and uncomfortable. Ozzy didn't care. He wanted to hear the tape.
Will she let us borrow it?
Probably,
Rin said, sounding a bit like a big baby.
But she's already going to be mad at me for using her car.
Ozzy and Clark exchanged glances.
Did you tell him?
Clark whispered.
No,
Ozzy mouthed.
Tell me what? About the car, Ozzy said. There may or may not be a few scratches on it, and some dents.
How many's a few?
Is 20 considered a few?
I think that's a bunch, Clark said. Rin stood up again. He looked at Ozzy and tried to smile.
The scratches and dents I can fix with magic, he said. Let's just hope Patty's in a good mood. In the past, she wouldn't even let me touch her old stereo. I guess a guy named Marco gave it to her when she was a freshman in high school and he was her boyfriend. Seems highly inappropriate to me.
Him giving his girlfriend a gift is inappropriate? Ozzy asked sincerely.
It was if it made every gift I gave her for the next 20 years look bad. Neck pillows aren't cheap. Now, let's go before I change my mind.
Rin stomped out of the room and out of the cabin.
This is going to be good, Clark said.
I don't care. I just want to hear the recording. Ozzy slipped the cassette tape into his pocket and followed the wizard. Chapter 42. Asking for Favors. Rin was not happy about the amount of scratches on his ex-wife's car.
That's going to take a lot of magic.
He was too overwhelmed to cast any spells, though, so he climbed into the driver's seat while Ozzy took the passenger seat and Clark planted himself on the dashboard.
Where does your ex-wife live? Ozzy asked. Near the ocean in a house that overlooks the ocean near a pier that stretches out into the ocean.
Do you not like the ocean? Clark asked.
It's fine.
Thinking about his ex-wife made Rin act more like a hurt child than a wizard.
How long were you married? Almost 10 years. But if you ask her, she'll say just over 9. Isn't that petty?
Very pretty, Clark said, having misheard Rin.
Can I be honest with you two?
Rin asked while driving. I thought we promised each other days ago that we always would be.
Right, but this is the kind of honest that evil would love to get its hands on.
Go on, Clark encouraged him.
Wizards have weaknesses. We're not human, but we do have things that can harm us. For example, I know a wizard who cannot master his allergies. On more than one occasion, epic battles were almost lost with his endless sneezing and sniffling.
Oh, Clark said, disappointed. This kind of truth.
Yes. And a wizard's weakness is often what his enemies attack. Well, I have a weakness.
What is it? Clark asked.
Patty, my ex-wife. I thought that was implied. Our marriage was happy, but it ended poorly. It was soon after that that I discovered Corfelt. I spent years there becoming the wizard I am, only to discover that my one weakness was the very woman I once loved. She will stop at nothing to make sure I don't succeed.
But she lets you borrow her car.
Well, borrow is a strong word.
She doesn't report you to the police, Ozzy pointed out.
Not for this, at least. But she makes me human. And that is the one thing a true wizard must shake off.
A few miles later, they passed right through Otter Rock. Rin turned onto a beautiful road that twisted between the trees and took them in the direction of the ocean. Ozzy could see the water on the horizon. A mile more, and they were at their destination. Patty's house was old and impressive. It had 2 stories and a 4-car garage. There was a fountain in front of the house that sprayed water up in various patterns. Rin parked the car on the circular driveway near the walkway to the front door. They all climbed out and began the impressively long walk to the front door.
When we get in there, let me do the talking, he said.
Of course, Ozzy replied. I don't need to say anything.
I'd like to say a few things, Clark chirped up.
Hide the bird,
Rin said. There might be a time when I'll need him for effect, but until then, keep him hidden. Clark reluctantly flew into Ozzy's pocket. Patty's front door was massive and covered in ornately carved waves and fishes. Ozzy thought Rin would knock first, but instead he opened the door and walked right in. Ozzy followed and shut the door behind him. The home's entry was bigger than the cloaked house, but considerably less interesting. It looked like a hotel lobby, or the entrance to a showy mall.
Patty!
Rin yelled.
I'm here!
This is a nice house, Ozzy whispered.
It's fine. We lived here when we were married.
Didn't you say you were a teacher? I read somewhere that teachers are underpaid.
They are. Patty's rich. Her father owned all the beachfront around here at one time. Patty!
Clark peeked his beak out to get a look at the surroundings. A woman emerged from a hallway to the north. Her skin was the color of brown ink, and her dark hair was short and neatly cut. She was thin and wearing jeans and a white tank top. She looked as if she couldn't decide whether to smile or frown about what she now found standing in her foyer. Hello, Rin.
Hello, Patty.
Who's this?
It's good to see you, too, the wizard said.
Patty looked at Ozzy. He's not holding you captive, is he?
No,
Ozzy said with a smile. That would have surprised even me. Patty was interesting and lovely, the kind of interesting and lovely that people wrote poems about. She was almost 40, but looked nowhere near it. Her eyes drew Ozzy in as she looked at him. What's your name? She asked nicely.
His name's Rumpton.
Ozzy looked horrified by the fake name. Nice to meet you, Rumpton.
He's my little brother, Rin explained. I signed up for the Big Brother program, and he's my first one.
That's excellent. And how are you two getting along?
Perfect, Ozzy said.
The answer made Rin smile.
Is there something you need, Rin? Patty asked.
Rin looked nervous and less wizardly under the foyer lights. He also looked like he was out of answers. So Ozzy spoke up.
I got a cassette tape from my real father, but I don't have any way to listen to it. Mr. Rin said that you might have a tape player.
Ozzy pulled out the tape so that Patty could see it.
Can't Rin just conjure up a new machine? She said, smiling.
Here we go, Rin said. A wizard without worship.
I'm just kidding, Rin. You're welcome to use that old machine. I think it's in the guest room closet. If you can find it, it's yours.
Fine, Rin said. Come with me, Rumpton.
You don't need his help, Patty insisted. Let me make him something to eat.
Ozzy gave Rin a quick glance. There was no way that he was going to pass up food made by a pleasant woman just to go dig through a closet.
We'll be in the kitchen, Patty said.
Rin stormed off.
How hungry are you? She asked.
Pretty hungry. All I've had today was some zebra cakes.
I bet I know who wanted those.
Patty's kitchen was so large it had three refrigerators. There were also three sinks and countless other appliances.
This is one person's kitchen? Ozzy asked. Or do you share it?
I know, it's too much. My father built this house years ago and I feel guilty living in it.
Why don't you move?
I like how straightforward you are. Would you care for a sandwich?
I'd really care for one.
Patty went to one of the refrigerators and pulled out a bunch of food. Ozzy was in awe at how stocked and orderly the fridge was. She put the food on the large kitchen island and began to piece things together.
Turkey?
Sure.
Swiss cheese?
Yes.
Ozzy had grown quite fond of cheese. Patty placed a large amount of turkey on a piece of thick brown bread and then layered slices of cheese over it. How long have you been doing the Big Brother program?
Pretty long. Ozzy had no idea what that was.
You like it?
Sure.
Ozzy knew that if he wanted her to stop questioning him, he was going to have to say something himself.
I didn't think you'd look like you do.
Again, so honest. Patty laughed. Unfortunately, like a lot of places, there's not much diversity here.
And you were married to Rin?
He went by Brian back then, but yes.
Why'd you end it?
That's not a question with one answer.
Was he a wizard then?
No, after we got divorced, he disappeared for a couple of years. No one knew where he went or what he was doing. Then he showed up in town one day wearing that... Well, you've seen how he dresses. He claimed to be a wizard, and... That was that.
He was in Quarfelt during the time he was gone?
He told you about that place?
A little.
I think the Big Brother organization needs to do more thorough background checks. Mustard and mayo?
Sure. You don't think he's a wizard?
Patty stopped spreading mayo to think a moment. I think he can be amazing when he wants to be, but I'm not sure I believe in wizards.
It makes sense that if there are wizards, there would be people who refuse to believe, Ozzy pointed out. I mean, where's the mystique in something everyone accepts?
That's a big thought for a person your age.
It's the same-sized thought for anyone, regardless of age.
Patty closed the sandwich up, cut it in triangles, and put it on a square plate. She set the plate down in front of Ozzy. Maybe the organization was wise to place Rin as your mentor. You sound as interesting as he is.
Found it,
Rin said, walking into the kitchen. He had a big box in his arms and wore a triumphant expression.
You didn't think I would.
I told you where it was.
Still, there was sabotage in your doubt. Now we will take you up on your offer and graciously accept it as a gift.
Excellent. I'm glad someone will use it.
Right.
Rin spotted Ozzy's sandwich.
Hey, did you make one for me?
No, she replied, but you can.
As a wizard, that's beneath me.
Using words Ozzy wasn't familiar with, Patty told him in a very straightforward manner what she thought of that.
How about I split mine with him? Ozzy said, trying to make everyone happy.
Rin stared at the boy proudly.
You passed the test, he said.
You have the generosity of a wizard. And your willingness to share gives me the humility to now craft my own.
Rin turned to Patty.
Do you mind if I fry up a few eggs to put on mine?
When they left the house, they had multiple sandwiches, chips, and sodas packed into a wicker basket. Ozzy carried the food and Rin carried the stereo. As they strolled down the front walk back to the car that Patty let Rin borrow, Clark came out of Ozzy's pocket and took his place in his hair.
Why did you ever leave her?
Ozzy asked Rin.
If you must know, she left me.
Sorry.
I made a series of bad decisions, but I can't regret them now because, well, look where they brought me.
Ozzy glanced around and wondered what exactly he was referring to.
The worst thing a person can do is give space to regret. Why should the past have such crippling power? A wizard cherishes what lessons he's learned, regardless of how he came to learn them.
Do you ever run out of things to say like that? Clark asked.
I wouldn't be a wizard if I did.
Oh, and thanks for Rumpton, by the way, Ozzy said.
A respected surname in Quarfelt.
Well, it's not my favorite here. Rin put the stereo into the trunk of the car and climbed in. Ozzy opened his door, and as he did, he heard someone say, Ozzy? The boy turned around, and his jaw dropped. He'd thought so much about Siggy over the course of the last few weeks that he must have somehow conjured up a vision of her. "What are you doing here?" she asked. Her expression was one part surprise, two parts happiness.
I...
Rin got back out of the car and stood up.
"Hello, Siggy," the wizard said.
"Hi, Dad."
Ozzy stood there in shock as his hoodie pocket rustled and made a very quiet squawk.
"Where are you two going?" Siggy asked.
"To the beach," Rin said. "Go inside. Your mother might need help."
"She doesn't, and I'm bored. I'm coming with you guys."
"That's not a good idea," Rin insisted.
Siggy wasn't listening. She had already climbed into the small car and was looking back out and up at Ozzy.
"Come on, get in."
Ozzy was still frozen.
"Just get in," Rin said. "We'll figure this out at the beach."
Ozzy climbed into the back seat, not saying a word. He was thrilled to see Siggy, but he was paralyzed by the knowledge that she was Rin's daughter. The wizard had never said he had a kid, but in fairness, Ozzy had never asked. He wasn't sure if their being related made him more or less in awe of her. Who was he kidding? He couldn't be more.
Chapter 43. Voices from Beyond. The sun was beginning to set when Rin pulled up to a small picnic area on the edge of the beach. There were only a few people walking at the edge of the water down the beach. The picnic area had two tables and a small restroom building. Rin shut the car off and turned to look at Siggy and Ozzy.
"Listen, this isn't how I thought the night would go, but here we are. Siggy, it's nice to see you."
"It's been a while," she pointed out.
"I've been extraordinarily busy," Rin said defensively. "You don't understand what the life of a wizard requires."
"You're right, I don't understand."
Ozzy stared at both of them, still unable to speak.
"I'm helping Ozzy find his parents. It's a complicated situation that takes the deft understanding and wand of a wizard."
"Your parents are lost?" Siggy asked Ozzy. He could only nod.
"Now, we've found a tape that he needs to listen to. So we borrowed your mother's stereo and we're about to borrow some electricity. But this is very private stuff, and I think Ozzy would be bothered to have you listen in."
"I wouldn't be bothered," Ozzy managed to say.
"Fine, but as your father, Siggy, you need to know that this is a sensitive thing, and I can't have you blabbing to your mother."
"Mom and I don't talk as much as you think."
"I'm sorry to hear that. Children need good communication with their parents."
Siggy's dark eyes went wide.
"What? You haven't spoken to me in months."
"Well, I'm a completely different situation."
"You mean, like how I'm supposed to be with you on weekends and this is the first I've seen of you in forever?"
"I thought you needed space."
"I hate to interrupt," Ozzy interrupted, "but is this a conversation you'd rather have without me around?"
Both Rin and Siggy looked at him as if he was crazy.
"Sorry," Rin said. "We'll put that conversation under a spell and move on to the business at hand. Now, Siggy, are you aware of Ozzy's bird?"
"I don't think so," she said, relieved to be moving on.
"It's remarkable, and it might take you by surprise."
"Show her the bird, Ozzy." Clark had heard them talking, so he crawled out of the hoodie pocket and hopped up on the front seat headrest.
"Wow," Siggy said. "It looks like a raven."
"Thank you. Can you believe I've been mistaken for a crow?"
"You can talk?"
"I'm fluent in two languages, English and chirp."
"Unbelievable. Where did you come from?"
"Ozzy's scientist-y inventor dad made me. I'm pretty sure I'm his finest creation."
"I can see that. Wait, are you who Ozzy was talking to when he was talking to himself?"
"Yep,"
Clark bragged.
"All right, this is very nice," Rin said, "but we've got things to solve."
You can stay in the car or, if Ozzy approves, come with us.
She can come, Ozzy said.
Rin retrieved the stereo from the trunk and Ozzy grabbed the food.
Clark realized where they were.
The beach! He flew out of the car toward the water.
He likes the beach, Ozzy informed Siggy. We used to spend a lot of time here.
I know, Siggy said. That's where we first met.
I don't know if you remember. Years ago, my mother and I were hiking down near the rocky shores and ran into you.
That sounds vaguely familiar. Siggy smiled.
You're such a liar.
I rarely go to the beach, Rin butted in. The water gives my skin a rash, and traditionally wizards aren't great swimmers.
I didn't know that, Ozzy admitted.
Well, you have a lot to learn.
The three of them carried their things to the closest picnic table. Ozzy set the basket down and Siggy took a seat on the bench. Rin kept the stereo in his arms.
There's an electric outlet on the side of the restrooms, he informed them. It's meant to supply power for the mowers and trimmers the caretakers use, but mostly the lifeguards just charge their phones with it. Sometimes I come down here to listen to talk radio. There's a cooking show out of Portland that has the best breakfast recipes.
Rin walked over and set the stereo down on the sandy concrete. He pulled open a metal door that protected the outlet and plugged in the stereo.
Do you have the tape?
Ozzy fished it out of his pocket and handed it to Rin, who put it into the stereo and prepared to press play.
Hold on, Ozzy said. Clark should be here.
Ozzy whistled loudly, and in a few seconds the bird was back. Siggy couldn't help staring at the bird, but Clark didn't mind the attention. He settled near her on top of the picnic table and made himself comfortable.
Your hair would make a nice nest, Clark said.
Thanks?
You're welcome.
The power cord was long enough that Rin could place the stereo on the edge of the table. Ozzy passed out the food and took a seat on the bench. In the distance, seagulls squawked, and the sun dropped down as it readied itself to take a soak in the ocean. With the sun sinking, the sky could no longer hold onto its blue, replacing it with shades of silver and gray that matched Ozzy's eyes.
This feels like a magical night, Rin said. Can you see it?
Ozzy looked around.
It's as if everything in existence has been working up to this one moment, the wizard said.
Could you just press play? Clark asked.
Right.
Rin pressed the play button, and side A, the formula, began to play. Immediately they heard Dr. Emmett Toffee speaking. But even though the moment was magical, what they heard was not. Dr. Toffee just rattled off long strings of mathematical and brain chemistry formulas that would complete his greatest finding. He didn't say what the finding was. He just kept throwing out X and Y and cosine and arc and serotonin and oxytocin. After 10 minutes, Clark finally spoke up.
Is it just me, or is this really boring?
It is boring, Rin said. Even as a wizard, I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe we should fast forward to the good part.
Ozzy fast forwarded for a few seconds, and when he stopped, his dad was still being boring. He fast forwarded a little more. Still boring. He kept skipping forward until finally they heard the doctor say something other than numbers and letters.
In conclusion, it is my finding that the formula works quite well to eliminate the dangerous willpower that so many never master, leaving the brain to make rational and life-changing decisions. It puts the brain in a position of complete control.
There were a few seconds of silence, and then the tape clicked off. The sun was almost completely beneath the water now. The street lamps near the picnic tables flicked on. The few people who had been out on the sand had packed up their things and driven away.
Well,
Rin said.
Your father was obviously a genius.
I don't understand, Siggy admitted. Your dad was working on this formula? Was it a work in progress, or had he figured it out?
Let's listen to the other side, shall we? Rin suggested.
Rin flipped the tape, and Clark insisted on being the one to press play this time. It helps me feel included. The tape began to play, and all three were shocked when, instead of hearing Dr. Emmett talking, they heard Ozzy's mother, Dr. Mia. The sound of his mother's voice jolted Ozzy. He'd only heard her say the single line on the end of the one tape he had. Now, here she was, saying more. Emmett is greatly discouraged. The last test was a failure and nearly cost a man his life. There was a small alteration made to the formula, and it appears that when changed, it reverses, giving power over the subject's brain to outside suggestions. In layman's terms, this means that when applied, you can make others do anything you wish. This is not an acceptable result. We fear drastic measures must be taken to make sure this never sees the light of day. The tape continued to play, but there was no sound. Is that it? Clark asked. I don't understand. There is a problem with their formula, Ozzy said. When they discovered that, they decided not to pursue it. I don't see what the problem is. Do you think they moved out here to work on it in secret? It seems to me like they moved out here to hide. Then I guess this tape sort of helps, Ozzy said, trying hard not to feel disappointed. I don't see how, Clark said. And now I feel... This could be our last recording. Mia's voice filled the air again. The tape that had remained running was silent no more. All four of them leaned in closer. The most despicable thing has happened, Mia continued. If this is found under suspicious circumstances, contact Charles Plankdorf immediately. He will... The tape was silent again. He will what? Clark asked. Ozzy fast-forwarded through the rest of Side B to see if there was an answer. When he reached the end, it clicked to a stop. He will what? Clark asked again. I have no idea, Ozzy answered. Both the bird and the boy looked at Rin. Siggy did the same.
I'm stumped too, the wizard said.
Don't you have a crystal ball or a puddle you can look into for answers? Ozzy asked. Siggy looked bothered by what Ozzy was asking.
Be careful, Rin said. She's my daughter, but she doesn't have much belief in my abilities.
Actually, Siggy insisted, I've just lived with my mother for too long, and she has no belief. Well, Ozzy said, I hired a wizard. I would love to see you pull out your wand or gaze into a crystal ball.
Does that seem fair to the rest of mankind? How can a person cheating life ever bring balance to the universe?
So, no crystal ball? Ozzy said sadly.
No. I had one, but it cracked when I accidentally took it bowling.
Really?
I thought it would improve my score.
Never mind that. Clark chirped. Who's Charles Plankdorf?
I'm not sure, Ozzy answered. But didn't Timsby say that my half-uncle could have been named Charles?
I don't know. I was in the car charging my batteries when that happened. Not you, Clark.
I think you're right, Rin said. Charles or Jonathan?
Since we don't have a crystal ball, we need a computer to search the name.
We could go to the public library, Rin suggested.
No, that could be trouble, what with all the late fees I have.
Wait, Rin said, sounding suddenly serious. I sense something.
He closed his eyes and began to mumble.
Yes, I do feel something.
The veil between Corfelt and reality must be really thin here. We're all connected, and there are those in Corfelt who wish to help us.
Really?
Clark said excitedly.
Close your eyes, Rin commanded.
Ozzy, Clark, and Siggy obeyed.
There's no need for vision now. We must hear the answer. Charles Plankdorf. Charles Plankdorf. Charles Plankdorf.
Rin repeated the name a few more times and then began to hum. Clark, because he was a mechanical bird with a warped sense of ethics, opened his eyes to peek.
Hey, what's that?
Ozzy and Siggy opened their eyes and saw Rin holding a smartphone and typing the name Charles Plankdorf into a search engine.
You have a phone?
Ozzy accused him.
Of course,
Rin replied, acting as if it was undignified for anyone to ask him that sort of thing.
What do you think you called me on? A troll verbalizing device?
That's cheating, Dad.
No, it's not, because the Internet is the human's closest form of magic, and I am currently using the Internet to locate one Charles Plankdorf.
But it's not real magic, Clark argued. Forget about that. Did you find him?
Ozzy asked, more interested in finding Charles than talking about the phone.
It doesn't seem to be a popular surname. In fact, there's only a single reference, and there's not much on him.
Rin held his phone closer to his face and began to read from it.
Charles Plankdorf appears to be a businessman who works for a company called Harkin Corporation. He lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Interesting. He's alive and grew up in New York. More interesting.
You think he's the Charles my mother was talking about?
I suppose it could be. It says he's 48 years old.
That age would fit with what Timsby said.
There's not much on him, but there is a name and a business phone number. And from the few pictures posted online, he appears to be wealthy. Look at his house.
The picture on the phone was of a man and a dog sitting on the hood of an expensive-looking car that was parked outside of an expensive-looking house. The home was beautiful, the car luxurious, and the dog handsome. But it was Charles Plankdorf's face that Ozzy found most interesting.
He looks like my dad.
He does? Rin asked. Actually, I think I can see a resemblance to you.
That has to be him, Ozzy said. So what do we do now?
How about we make a call? Rin suggested.
He swiped the screen on his phone and pressed the number listed for Harkin Corporation. He looked excitedly at Ozzy, and then at his daughter, and finally at Clark.
It's ringing.
Clark looked unimpressed. The phone continued to ring. The small crowd of three people in a mechanical fowl waited impatiently to hear who would pick up. But no human answered, and after 10 rings, it went to voicemail, where a generic woman's voice told Rin to leave a message.
Yes, Rin said into the phone. There are many things in this world that fight for one's attention. Let only the honest win.
Rin hung up.
That's your message? Ozzy asked.
I'm trying to get people to really take a look outside of themselves.
I think it means message, like who you are and how they can call you back.
Really? Maybe that's why no one ever returns my calls.
Rin's phone made a chiming noise that startled him.
Oh, I have a text from Patty.
As he read the screen, his eyebrows knitted deeper and deeper.
What is it?
Ozzy asked.
I guess Sheriff Wills just paid her a visit. He asked her a bunch of questions about me and you, and she told them we were just there. Perhaps we should go in and explain things to them, Rin said. You won't be in trouble, and I can think of some spell to get me out of it.
No, Ozzy said. I tried talking to them once, and it didn't end well. I have to at least make an attempt to find this Charles guy. After all, my mom just told me to.
That's true, Clark agreed. How far away is he?
3 states down and 1 over.
Could I fly there in a few hours?
No, Rin said. But we could drive there in about 20 hours.
Rin's phone beeped again, and he read the new text.
Patty said the sheriff wants me to come down to the station.
Go, Ozzy said. Tell them it's my fault. Tell them everything. But I'm going to New Mexico. Can you drop me off at the bus station before you go to the police?
Rin looked up at the stars in silence. He blinked a few times, and then closed his eyes while keeping his head tilted back. He twisted on the picnic bench and turned to look directly at Ozzy.
You're not going to the bus station. We've done nothing wrong, and we're only attempting to right an injustice that was done to you. I'll take you there. To the car!
They picked up the stereo and the food they still hadn't eaten.
Siggy, I'll need to drop you off at the end of the street, her father said. You'll have to walk a little bit, but I can't take you all the way home.
Good, because I'm coming with you.
I don't think so. Your mother will have my hide.
Listen, Dad, I'm going. You're supposed to have me on the weekends. This is your chance to make up for all the times you weren't there. Show me that you really are what you say you are. You have to let me go.
What do you think, Ozzy?
She was the only person who was nice to me at school. She also smells better than both of you, Clark said. At least, I'm guessing she does. What about the sheriff? Ozzy asked. We'll have to drive through town to get out of town.
Hopefully he's doing something that isn't on our route.
The wizard adjusted his pointy felt hat.
Let's hope he's preoccupied somewhere else.
If we're hoping, Ozzy said, let's hope my parents just come back and straighten things out.
They got into the car and buckled up. Chapter 44. Going Far Away. Rin drove away from the beach with Ozzy in the passenger seat and Siggy in the back. It was dark, and there were no other cars around. They approached the road leading to Patty's and Siggy's house.
You sure you don't want me to drop you off?
Positive, Siggy said.
Well, you're going to need to call your mother at some point and tell her where you are. And I'm not making that call.
Clark turned on the car's dome light and sat on a headrest under it to soak up light.
Oh, yeah, that feels nice. You might want to turn that off, Siggy suggested. It'll give away who's in the car. I might want to not turn it off, Clark replied. But I will.
The bird switched off the dome light and hopped up into Ozzy's lap, where he could use the light from Rin's phone.
Hold on, Ozzy said. I'm looking something up. According to this, Albuquerque, New Mexico is 19 hours and 38 minutes away.
That sounds about right, Rin said. I've spent time there before.
We'll have to stop somewhere for you to sleep.
Oh, wizards don't need sleep in the way that humans do. But still, it might be prudent to pull over and catch a couple of naps along the way.
This whole thing is a long shot, Ozzy said, more to himself than anyone else.
All rewarding things are.
I'm sorry about my dad, Siggy said kindly. He's always saying things like that.
I don't mind it at all, Ozzy admitted.
Well, then, you're different than any of my friends.
The route they needed to take out of town went directly down Main Street and up past the school. From there, they could take a short road that hooked up to the Mule Pole Highway. The highway would then take them past the train tracks, past Bell's Ferry, and almost all the way out of Oregon. And then there were freeways that would get them the rest of the way.
If we just get to the highway, we should be okay, Rin said. I can't imagine Sheriff Wills caring enough to chase us farther than that.
I hope he doesn't chase us at all. Rin drove through a neighborhood to avoid Main Street. Eventually, however, he had no option but to use it. He turned out onto Main Street just past Volts. All four passengers began searching for any sign of police cars.
This is nerve-wracking, Clark said, standing on the top of the dashboard. Wait, is that a police car?
Clark pointed to a brown UPS truck parked behind a building.
No.
Well, then I'm no help. Clark hopped off the dashboard and back into Ozzy's lap so that he could shine the phone on himself again. Otter Rock's Main Street was busy. The street lights were on and cars were making their way to restaurants and movies while tourists were milling around on the sidewalks.
Just act cool, Rin instructed.
I have no idea how to do that.
What I mean is just don't draw attention to our car.
Rin was using his hands for emphasis, and as he talked, he accidentally honked the horn.
Whoops!
The people around them looked in their direction.
I didn't know cars could honk like that, Clark said. No wonder people like them so much.
Reminds me of a goose I tried talking to once.
The traffic light ahead turned red, and Rin had to stop. As they sat waiting for the light to switch to green, a police car drove through the intersection. As it crossed in front of them, the officer in the car looked at Rin and Ozzy.
Schlep, Rin said, using Corfelt's slang. I think he saw us.
The cop moved through the intersection and switched on his patrol lights.
He's turning around, Siggy said.
Rin pressed on the gas and drove through the light well before it had decided to go green. He turned onto Peach Street and instructed the car to go faster. Clark jumped over Siggy to the back window.
I don't see anyone following us,
the bird hollered.
They will be,
Rin yelled back. On cue, a set of bright, flashing lights appeared behind them in the distance.
Go faster,
Ozzy said. Rin turned onto Mule Pole Highway without slowing down. The strong turn caused the small white car to lift up on one side. It came back down heavily on all of its wheels as Rin zipped around a truck that had the nerve to be traveling too slow.
Everyone okay?
Rin yelled.
I'm fine,
Clark said.
Don't tell your mom.
I won't,
Siggy promised. Rin pressed on the gas and flew down the highway. Behind them, Clark could see the police car coming out around the truck. There was now a second one in tow.
Two cop cars,
Clark reported.
What do we do?
Ozzy asked.
We can't outrun the cops.
Looking back through the windshield in the dark of night, Ozzy could see that a third police car had joined the chase.
Are they going to ram us off the road?
Ozzy asked nervously.
No!
Rin yelled.
They don't just ram people.
So what do? Drive until we run out of gas?
Use a spell!
Clark squawked.
Use a spell!
Do you have actual spells?
Siggy asked. Rin didn't reply. He kept his focus on the road in front of him. The traffic on the highway was thin as usual, but Rin had to pass a couple of cars on the edge of town before the road opened up. And there was no one in front of them any longer. They sped down the highway without any impediments. They were taking the same route Ozzy's school bus took on the way home, only much, much faster. Ozzy wished desperately that there were no cops behind them. He wanted Rin to just drop him off at the tracks so he could go home and sleep in his room. But there were cops behind them, and they were closing in.
Can't you go faster?
Clark asked.
It's a car, not a rocket,
Ozzy answered for Rin. He had no desire for Rin to speed up any more than he already was. The small car felt like it was going to rip apart from the strain of moving so quickly.
Maybe we should just stop near the train tracks and make a run to the cloaked house, Ozzy suggested.
There's no way we'd make it, Rin replied. And if we did, what then?
The little white car flew down the highway, the cops patiently keeping their distance but maintaining the chase.
When are they going to start shooting? Clark asked. They won't shoot, but they'll notify the cops in Bell's Ferry. And then they'll set up a roadblock to stop us.
So we're doomed? Siggy said.
Not by a long shot.
Are you nuts? The bird warbled. I need to make sure Ozzy stays safe, because if he's locked up in jail or gets into an accident, I don't know what I'll do.
The cops were all running their lights and keeping back a good distance so as to not make the situation worse. They were aware that eventually the small car would have to stop. Rin, Siggy, Ozzy, and Clark kept quiet as each tried to think of a solution. But with every mile they drove, the situation felt more and more hopeless. It wasn't long before they were nearing the train tracks.
The tracks are just around that corner, Ozzy pointed up the road. I think making a run for the cloaked house is our best chance of getting away. We can hide in the woods until they give up.
That's not an answer. That's a new problem.
At least he's trying to come up with a solution.
Clark was freaking out.
Do you know what cops do to birds? Seriously, do you? I can't get caught. I have a record. They'll punish me for breaking those lights at bites.
Clark started flying around the inside of the car frantically.
Knock it off!
Ozzy yelled as Siggy waved Clark away. The bird bounced off of the windshield and hit Rin's hat.
Careful, Clark!
The road curved, and they flew around the corner towards the tracks.
Great mounds of magic!
Rin screamed. Just up ahead, the railroad crossing lights were flashing, and for the first time that Ozzy had witnessed, there was a train on the tracks. The locomotive was flying across the highway just yards in front of them. Clark screamed and bounced back and forth against the windows.
Ah!
He smacked up against Rin, who was already more nervous than a wizard should be. The car swerved and Rin lost control. His foot missed the brake, and the car jetted into the mounded shoulder on the side of the road. It hit the mound like a ramp and flew into the air, spinning upside down. The vehicle rolled all the way over in the air as it shot towards the train and landed, wheels down, on the back of an empty and moving flatbed train car. Unaware of the fact that it had a new addition to its load, the speeding train sped on, continuing its uninterrupted course across Oregon toward California. Siggy, Ozzy, and Clark looked at each other in disbelief. One minute they'd been driving down the highway being chased by cops, and now they were on the back of a train car being whisked away. Ozzy couldn't speak. His body was in shock and his brain was stunned. I saw my battery life flash before my eyes, Clark tweeted.
What just happened?
Ozzy finally spoke.
We caught a ride, Rin said.
The wizard didn't seem the least bit surprised by what had just happened.
Is the food in the back okay?
That's impossible, Siggy said with a shaky voice. What just happened is impossible.
Impossible? Rin asked. That's such a weird word. Can't you see what happened? I mean, you were all there.
I still don't believe it.
The train raced across the countryside with them parked on it.
Humans, Rin said with a laugh. That's why we wizards so seldom use magic. You refuse to believe.
I,
Siggy tried to say.
Don't tell your mom,
he reminded her. Rin casually reached back and grabbed a bag. He pulled it into the front and began to unwrap his second sandwich, acting as if it was just another night in the life of a wizard. Chapter 45. Where did you go? All three cop cars slammed on their brakes and barely came to a stop before hitting the train or each other. The long freight train continued racing across the highway, clanking noisily and creating a moving wall that they couldn't get through. Sheriff Wills and his officers got out of their cars.
What happened?
Sheriff Wills yelled. The noise of the passing train was thunderous. The weight of the fast-moving machine shook the ground.
I have no idea!
Officer Gregg yelled back. The three police cars had been tailing Rin's car for miles. Following protocol, they had stayed back a safe distance to make sure that they didn't cause any unneeded accidents or harm to other cars or themselves. They had contacted the officers in Bell's Ferry, and a roadblock was in place. But as the cars had come around the corner, they had seen the crossing lights flashing, and it looked as if the wizard's car popped and then just disappeared. Sheriff Wills was stumped.
Did they get through?
They must have. Officer Gregg wasn't confident about his answer. I'm just not sure how someone drives right through a train.
Are you sure they didn't go off the road? The third officer asked.
Sheriff Wills yelled back.
I'm not sure of anything!
The three policemen walked along the sides of the highway looking for evidence that the car might have run into the trees while the unending train continued to block their passage. It was too dark to see much, and, in their minds, the wizard had somehow made it across the track before the train.
Unbelievable!
Sheriff Wills said to his officers as they huddled together by the side of the road.
Earlier, Brian tamed a bird that busted up light bulbs, and now he drove through a moving train. Maybe he is a wizard.
They all laughed uncomfortably. More vehicles stopped behind the three police cars and joined the wait. There was still no sign of the end of the train.
Bill's Ferry will stop them, the sheriff said. They won't get far.
The locomotive rumbled as the railroad crossing signs flashed and dinged. It was another 5 minutes before the train finished crossing the highway. The flashing lights turned off, and police held traffic a moment longer as they looked for signs of Rin's car on the other side of the track. There were none. Sheriff Wills got back into his car and raced to Bell's Ferry. Chapter 46. I Could Take a Train. What happened with the police chase was something Ozzy and Clark and Siggy would never forget. Rin? Well, he acted like taking a dirt jump off the road and twisting upside down in a car before landing on a speeding railroad car was nothing out of the ordinary. The train car in front of them had a large metal container on it, and the car behind them did too. Somehow they'd landed unscathed on the empty one in between. Their small car shook and rattled as the locomotive rumbled along. Rin put on the emergency brake for safety.
You don't think that was unbelievable? Ozzy asked for the 10th time.
I guess once you've lived in Corfelt, you're not easily impressed. And besides, I told you previously that many spirits use the railroads for traveling through this dimension.
Do they use it like that?
They use it however they see fit.
I wish I had my phone so I could send out a Snapchat of this, Siggy said. No one's going to believe it.
I personally think it's weird, Clark chirped.
Rin said we would get away, and we did. That's weird, right? I mean, there is a wall of train in front of us and a pack of cops behind us, and yet, here we are.
It's almost impossible to believe, Siggy said.
Sadly, you have more of your mother in you than you should.
Do you think we're heading in the right direction? Ozzy asked.
We are, Rin replied. This might actually save us time and gas money.
And how do we get off whenever we stop? Ozzy questioned. What if when we stop, the sheriff's there?
What's the point of worrying about those things? Rin said.
When the time comes, the answer will present itself.
Rin took a big bite of his fried egg sandwich.
You don't think this is mind-blowing? Ozzy asked.